is Jim Paris Live, your source for money and political conversation from a Christian perspective. And now your host, the author of more than 20 books, and the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com, James L. Paris.
All right, good evening, everybody, and welcome to our first edition of being back on with live radio over the Internet in a couple of years. And I'll tell you what, I really have missed it. This has been Sunday night is an interesting time of the week, I have to tell you, because for years I've always used Sunday night as sort of the time of the week when I plan for the next week, reflect on the prior week, kind of clean off my desk, decide where I'm at, if I'm on the right track with my life. And we like to do this program on Sunday night live because it's a good time for all of us to sort of regroup, get a new perspective. And tonight we've got a great program lined up for you. In just a couple of moments, I'll be bringing my guest on. His name is Kendall Carver, and he's the president of the International Cruise Victim Organization, a nonprofit advocacy group for victims of crimes that take place on cruise ships. And he's got a fascinating story to share with you. We'll be getting into that tonight. Before we get into all of that, a few quick announcements. I had a fantastic day yesterday, Saturday, and this will tell you how I'm starting to get a little bit older. At least I'm putting two and two together. I will be 49 years old this month, and so to some people that would seem not very old, but yesterday I had the opportunity to meet up with my high school band director from when I grew up in Chicago. And it's been 30 years since I've been out of high school. 30 years. And so here's my band director. We meet up here in Palm Coast. He goes out on my sailboat, he and his wife, and my wife and I, the four of us, we went out and had a beautiful day out on the sailboat. And I still just, his name is Bob Good, if he's listening. Hello, Mr. Good. And just had a great day. And you just think to yourself, wow, where does time go? I mean, for a moment, I wanted to go find my trumpet and find my seat in the band room when I saw him. But there he was. He's now retired as a teacher. And we spent the day together yesterday sailing. So great time. And thanks for coming down to see me from Chicago, Mr. Good. My new book, How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, continuing to do very well on Amazon. In fact, we just got another great review that came in. That brings us up to 17 reviews of the book, and they're almost all five-star reviews. So I thank you so much for supporting the book. The book is available in paperback or for Kindle. And a little money-saving tip here for you. If you're a member of Amazon Prime, you do have the opportunity to get the book for free through their lending library. So if you're already a member of Amazon Prime, look for the book for free borrow on Amazon with your Kindle device. Again, the name of the book is How to Pray for a Financial Miracle. Doing very well. The sales surprising us every day how many people are grabbing a copy of the book. And this whole publishing world has changed now with the Kindle device and how many people are purchasing books and reading them on Kindles instead of buying the physical book. Although we do have the book available as a paperback book, it's 170 pages as well. And also this week, we've got a series of free workshops available for those of you that are new to all of this. My name is Jim Paris. I'm the editor-in-chief of the website, ChristianMoney.com. And one of the things that we like to do is offer a series of free training workshops. And these take place completely online. So you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to pay anything in the privacy of your own home. And this week we've got, I think, 9 or 10 online workshops set up for you. All you've got to do is go over to the schedule page, which is jimsfreetraining.com, and you'll be able to see the schedule, all kinds of information on ways to make money, ways to save money, a lot of good stuff for you over there. The full schedule of our workshops for the week are available at jimsfreetraining.com. Well, without any further delay, I want to bring my guest with us live on the program. His name is Kendall Carver, and he's the president of the International Cruise Victims Organization, a nonprofit advocacy group for victims of crimes that take place on cruise ships. A retired insurance executive, Mr. Carver came out of retirement to take on this cause in 2004 when his own daughter, Marion, disappeared while on a cruise. And then in 2006, he founded the International Cruise Victims Organization. Mr. Carver, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
James, it's my pleasure.
Well, can I call you Kendall?
Oh, you can call me Ken. Ken is fine.
All right, Ken, very good. Let's just start and take your time. We've got an hour here. I want to hear firsthand the story of your daughter disappearing on a cruise ship. I cannot even imagine what you went through with that, but I think we might be able to enlighten a lot of people tonight if they hear your story firsthand.
Well, Marion is the or was the oldest of four daughters, so I have three other daughters. And Marion had been divorced, and her daughter called us the end of August of 2004, indicating that Marion was not returning her phone calls, and could we, check it out? Well, frankly, James, we didn't anticipate any problems, but we started calling. We're not getting a response. So we went to the Cambridge Police Department in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and filed a missing person report. And we asked them to go by Marion's apartment to see if she was there and if there was anything irregular about her apartment. So they did, and they actually, she didn't answer the door, so they were able to gain access to the apartment, went in, and everything was fine. There was no nothing that would indicate anything. So that started us, James, on a trip that we started off by ourselves, and now we have an organization in 24 countries in the world. The Cambridge Police started an investigation, and one of the things they did was to gain access to her bank accounts. And they were able to identify a credit card transaction, a couple of them. One was for a round-trip airline ticket to Washington. Another one was a ticket for a Celebrity Cruise Line. And this is about 3 weeks into from the point that she went missing. So they called me and told me about the cruise line ticket. So I called Royal Caribbean, who owns Celebrity Cruise Lines. I said, gee, was our daughter on your ship? And they got back in a couple of days and said, well, she was, but after a couple of days didn't use her room, and that's not unusual. And they couldn't tell us whether or not she got off. Well, we thought about that, Jane, for a couple of days and figured we just could not leave it at that point. So anyway, the first thing we asked them, James, at that point in time was there any video of Marion? Anything that would give us any information? And being 3 weeks into it, they said, well, we got here too late. We've already erased the video.
Really? This was in 3 weeks. They say they erased the security videos.
That's right. So we hired an international detective agency called Crowland Associates. They're very well known. We put a Boston law firm on retainer, so that we could gain legal access to take action regarding the whereabouts of Marion. And so the detective agency at that point took over. And they called the cruise line and said, gee, we'd made one decision, James. It seemed like a pretty simple decision. We wanted to speak to somebody on that boat that had seen our daughter. And that's, you know, about the minimum you could go for. So anyway, the detective agency called the cruise lines, and they said the steward had made no reports, and then they started asking to interview him, and they would not permit that. In November, they sent a detective onto the ship in Monterey, California. That's where it was at that time. And they were met by people from the cruise lines who are called risk management. Now, through this whole process, you think they're working with you. I mean, that's just clearly the assumption. We're looking for a daughter. But they wouldn't let them talk to anybody on the ship. They had outside legal counsel.
So was it at that point that you felt like that there was a cover-up beginning to happen?
Well, I would say it was in January. I'll get to that, James. But they wouldn't let them talk to anybody. And again, they said there was no video that had been erased. And they only used the video to park the boat, which is kind of a ridiculous answer. So we took court action. We were determined to speak to that steward. So we took court action. First of all, we had to go to the courts in Massachusetts, where Marion lived. Then we had to hire a second law firm in Florida, because if you take action against a cruise line, you have to go to Florida, even though you might live in Iowa or Massachusetts or wherever. And just to get that law firm to speak to us cost us $10,000. But we were becoming more and more determined to get to that steward. So finally, the papers were served at the end of December. We were concerned he'd be put off the boat. And on January 16th, we had the deposition of that steward. Now, to get to that point, James, just to get to that steward, we had spent $75,000 between detective fees and legal fees, plus 7 days a week of my efforts and energy. And in the deposition, I really, you know, going into it, I remember I got a call. I was actually in church, and I was talking to the lawyer. He called me before the deposition, and I said, well, we're probably not going to learn anything, but at least we can close that door. Well, as we got into the deposition, they asked the steward about Marion, and he indicated to our amazement that he had reported her missing daily. And they told his boss, told him to forget it and do his job. Just forget it. So the end of the cruise comes, and her belongings are in the room. And he goes to the steward and he says, well, what do we do with this stuff? He said, just put it in a bag and put it in my locker. And we later found out they had disposed of her belongings. Now, you know, in 3 weeks when she first disappeared, the FBI had not been notified. They had made no attempt to notify us. And they went another week. So it was 5 weeks before the FBI was even advised that Marion went missing. So anyway, in that January 16th hearing, and the next day they disposed, the lawyers talked to the hotel manager on the boat, and they asked about the video. And their lawyer interrupted the hotel manager and said, we will count that as privileged information for national security reasons. So first they said it was erased. Now it's national security reasons. But that, James, in the whole thing was the worst day of my life. When I realized since September that these people knew what happened and had been lying to us, I was stunned. You know, it seems unbelievable. So the next thing I did is I was CEO of an insurance company in New York City for 18 years. I wrote the chairman of the board, Richard Fain, a letter. And I also sent copies to the board members and said, hey, we need your help. We're dealing with a cover-up. Well, I would have thought if he'd been smart, he would have returned the call. But he didn't. Risk management returned the call. Said, oh, we're here to help you. You tell us what you want. Well, we wanted everything. And that took several months to get things out of their file. But included in the material that we did get was three email, internal emails, written in the third week of September. And these emails can be viewed if people want to go on our website at www.internationalcruisevictims.org. You'll find my Senate testimony. And you'll find these three emails. And what they were doing, James, was setting up the cover-up of our daughter's disappearance. There's one email saying to risk management that we've talked to the 14 people that work with this steward and to make sure that no calls got through to it. The second email is a conversation that they had concerning the steward, and they said, we've told this guy three times he is not to discuss this with anybody. It's a problem. And then there was a third email where they discussed deposing, getting rid of her personal items. They took her purse, which had her name, social security number, put that in storage. Everything else was gotten rid of. So they, in effect, knew in the third week of September exactly what was going on. And yet for all those months, we had to spend money to get to that steward. And what's interesting and frankly disappointing, James, is that when they told the FBI after 5 weeks, they did nothing. They didn't go on the boat. They didn't interview the steward. I pleaded with them. You know, we're spending, you know, thousands of dollars to go in and do something. They did nothing. And so anyway, that left us, you know, obviously with a cover-up that they knew about it. And in June, well, there was one other final tipping point where I just couldn't go on any further. We'd been working on this 7 days a week since August. Marion was photographed carrying on a brown Manila envelope onto that ship. The steward talked about the brown Manila envelope. So I asked them, where is the brown Manila envelope? And they finally admitted they'd gotten rid of it. And I don't know if they opened it or not. But here could have been very significant information, and that was disposed of. So in June of 2005, I was reading Business Week, and a full-page article came out concerning a book called Devil in the Deep Blue Sea. It was about Royal Caribbean and Carnival Cruise Lines. And one of the things that, I don't know what page it was on, it said my Senate testimony, it was a quote saying cover-up was a standard operating procedure for cruise lines. They get the employee off the ship, the key person, get them away, and that's just the way they did business and do business.
This is a shocking story, and I want you to continue here in just a moment. For those just joining us, my name is Jim Parrish. You're listening to Jim Parrish Live, and my guest is Kendall Carver, and he's the president of the International Cruise Victims Organization. And what he's doing right now is sharing with us the story of how his own daughter disappeared on a cruise ship in 2004. We're going to have him continue on. We're also right now going to open up the phone lines. If you would like to call in with a question, with a comment, maybe your own story, your own horror story of something that happened to you on a cruise line. We're going to open up for live calls right now. Toll free 888-287-3316. Again, that number, toll free 888-287-3316. Mr. Carver, continue on.
Well, so now we're into July, and finally, I ran an insurance company, but we finally determined, this is like 14 months after Marion disappeared, that we were going to go public. Her story had not been in any papers. We didn't know. In fact, we didn't hold a service, James, for Marion for 6 months because nobody could agree on what happened, and we didn't know what happened. And finally, we had a service of remembrance. Not a memorial service for Marion. So anyway, in September of 2005, we made a decision to go public with this horror story, I guess you would say. Well, how do you take a story public 14 months after it's happened of somebody disappearing on a cruise ship? Well, I knew one person in New York City. We lived in the same town, Darien, Connecticut. And I called his wife. I called his home because we were friends. And this individual was doing something called Katrina with somebody that was unknown named Anderson Cooper. So in a week or two, he got back to me and said, well, you know, Ken, we're just really tied up in this. And, you know, really kind of put me off, which was fine. We're starting down a journey that we didn't know what would happen next. So I went to my landlord from New York City, and he put me in contact with his public relations person. And when we told the story to this individual, he said, Ken, this is a story that needs to be told. So we had a conference call, and this is, I think, where the work of God came into play, James. At 10 in the morning, we had a conference call. How were we going to take this story public that was 14 months old? And the individual in New York said, well, maybe he could get something in the Boston Globe, because Marion was from there. So that's kind of where we ended that conversation. He would try to get a story out someplace, like in Boston. Well, guess what, James? 2 hours later, I get a call from CNN, from this friend, saying, Ken, we're flying to Phoenix, and we're going to interview you. And it turned out to be, James, we were on the first Anderson Cooper show. And they have replayed that many times, but it was like that moment to get a call to do a national television show on something that nobody was even really aware of. And so all of a sudden, Carol and I figured out, my goodness, we're going to be on a national television show. We better know what to do. So we hired a guy who had worked for the Arizona Republic, and he came out with a camera and kind of coached us for an hour, a little bit of how interviews go. And but he did something else without asking us. He took it to the Arizona Republic. And a fellow named Robert Engel, who is one of their top reporters, picked it up. So when Anderson Cooper did his show, I don't know, whatever first night it was, later on that week on the front page of the Arizona Republic, it was a major story about the disappearance of her daughter. But CNN did something else, which was highly significant. They called me and said, Ken, you need to call Chris Shea, who is the representative from Connecticut, because he has an interest in this subject. There was another couple, the honeymoon couple. So we did call him, only because CNN suggested it. And that put us, James, into the first congressional hearing in December of 2005. And so all of a sudden we've gone from nobody knowing it to the world knowing it in a congressional hearing. Now, those steps, I really think, were divine steps in this process. You couldn't plan to do those things.
Was there, Ken, was there ever litigation? Did Celebrity Cruise Lines ever face any type of civil liability or have to pay a judgment or anything in this matter?
Well, the answer is clearly they were obstructing justice all the way. And we did take action against Celebrity Cruise Lines for lying to us.
Right.
I mean, it was fraud. They were lying to us. And we finally reached a settlement, which is actually peanuts in relation to what we'd spent. But we just had to get past that point. So we did take action. And running an insurance company, suing somebody, is the last thing that would ever come to our mind. But we weren't looking for baggage. We were looking for a daughter.
Right,
and these
right.
People were lying to us. I mean, it's rather incredible. So that's kind of how we got into the congressional hearings, James.
In the end, was there? Did you win a judgment in civil court, at least against these folks?
Well, we made a settlement. They made an offer, and we just agreed to settle it. So we didn't go to court with it.
Well, it's good to see that they at least had to pay some money. But for folks that are listening to your story, and we're going to continue to hear more, but we've got callers lining up here. In the end, though, as we speak today with you, your daughter has never been found. This mystery has never been solved. Is that right?
That's right. But questions have been raised. What happened to Marion? And in 2006, the Cambridge police called me saying that somebody wanted to talk to me. And this individual, I got a hold of him. He had been a crew member on Marion's ship. And he said the story, and he'd gotten off the ship as Marion got on, but his friends were still on that ship, that the story among the crew was that somebody in that ship was involved with Marion in this whole episode. And then he gave us several other names, and they all confirmed this story. Well, you know, we asked the FBI to follow up on that. Well, they went and talked to these people, and they confirmed the story, but the FBI did nothing past that point. We were, frankly, disappointed. Well, a month goes by, James, after we'd gotten that call, and my cell phone rings, and it's some woman in Washington, the state of Washington, who was good friends of a neighbor of ours in Darien, Connecticut, and she relays a story, which is the same as the crew members, that one of the crew members was involved in the demise of Marion. Now, she's a psychic, and I guess I would say that we're probably, you know, there was nothing that we could take action on, but it confirmed the crew member story. But in July of 2011, our minister, I was having coffee with him, he said, "You want to know what happened to Marion?" I said, "Sure." He said, "Well, there's a woman in our church I'm convinced has the power to know," and she had told him what she knew. Guess what, James? She said exactly the same story. So is that what happened? I don't know, but it's the only explanation you could give.
It's all you have at this point. We're going to start taking some calls for Kendall Carver, and if you're just tuning in, my name is Jim Paris. This is Jim Paris Live. We get together every Sunday night. We talk about money. We talk about politics. In the next couple of weeks, we've got some great shows coming up for you. Next week, our guest will be L.A. Marzulli, Bible prophecy expert. We'll be exploring the topic of Christians and the Bible and UFOs. I mean, what do we think as Christians about UFOs? And then in 2 weeks, IRS problem solver Dan Pilla will be with us. If you have a question or a comment, maybe your own horror story to share about something that happened to you on a cruise line, you can join us right now, toll free, 888-287-3316 is the number. Again, that's 888-287-3316, or maybe you have a question for Mr. Carver about his own story. Again, 888-287-3316, and we go first to Los Angeles, California. Listening to us there is Marie. Marie, welcome.
Hi.
To Jim Paris Live. Say hello to Kendall Carver.
Hello. Fascinating story, and obviously just very disturbing because you always think of cruises as, you know, we're going to go on a cruise. You think of something, it is a, you know, very, you know, happy occasion. You don't think of, you know, that it could ever have, you know.
So, Marie, have you been on cruises before?
Yes, I've been on about three or four of them.
And you've never had any problems, or have you had some problems?
No, not you know, no big problems. I guess my question was I was just wondering. I have a couple of, you know, beautiful teenage daughters, and would love to take them with me. In the past, I've usually just gone with my husband, but I mean. Are there certain areas that you would go cruising in where you would not suggest going, where this kind of thing happens more prevalently than others?
That's a good question. First of all, you know, Marion's story of going missing, it turns out if you go to our website, there's a college professor keeps track of this. Every 2 weeks, somebody goes missing off a cruise ship.
Every two weeks, someone goes missing.
23 people last year. If you look at it, that's about the way it runs year after year. But the other crime are sexual crimes. And the teenage, young teenage girls or single women on a cruise ship are vulnerable. The sexual crime rate is anywhere from 50 to 100% higher on a cruise ship than in a normal city. Now, what a cruise ship is a city. It's got cooks, it's got entertainers, it's got, you know, all the things that run that you need to run a city. The captain acts as the mayor. There's one thing missing, and that's called security. The cruise line security works for the cruise lines, and they take the legal position they do not investigate crimes. But now they're promoting unlimited alcohol. So can you imagine putting thousands of people together, up to 8,000 people, serving unlimited alcohol, and there's no police?
What was that statistic convicted? You just gave about the sexual assaults on minors? What percentage of the assaults are on minors?
We did a Freedom of Information Act to the FBI. We actually have a new one pending to update the numbers. But it was for like 2008, for 1 year. And of the crimes that were submitted, or that we got reports on, and at that point they were voluntarily given to the FBI, 18% were on minors.
18% were on minors.
Right.
Now, and when it comes to the law, though, Ken, who is... where is the jurisdiction if you're on a cruise ship? Because these cruise ships, many of them, they fly foreign flags. They're sailing in international waters. Who has a legal jurisdiction on these crimes that occur on the high seas?
Well, that's an interesting question. Before, it was the country where the ship was flagged, and that could be Panama or the Bahamas or some little, you know, Malta or some place that they flag them there, so they pay no taxes, and no action is ever taken on a crime. As a result, frankly, of Marion's disappearance, Senator Kerry picked it up, and Doris Matsui, originally Chris Shea picked it up, then the Democrats took over and Doris Matsui picked it up. A bill was passed that said now, any time a crime occurs, it has to be reported to the FBI. It's mandatory. And they have the authority to take action. And the victim has rights. So instead of giving their story to the cruise line, they can go directly. And people need to understand this. They need to go directly to the FBI. That's one of the rights that they now have. They can go to a sexual organization directly. Because when you go filtered through the structure of a cruise line, And half to 70% of the crimes, there are crew members involved with them. They're on those ships for 7 days a week for 9 months, and a high percent of the crimes are by crew members.
Now, you had mentioned in your own case, the FBI seemed disinclined to be very interested at all in the disappearance of your daughter. With this new law, does the FBI seem to be more inclined? I heard another interview you did where you had made the comment that the cruise lines actually have a very strong lobby in Washington, D.C. In fact, they actually hire former FBI agents as liaisons with the FBI, which appears to aid in the whole cover-up, if there is one of these crimes. Where does the FBI stand on this today? Do they vigorously investigate these crimes or not?
Well, the answer is, this is an issue that we're working with, James. I had a whole series of memos on Friday of this week that, you know, a woman's raped on a ship or a young girl is raped on a ship. the FBI does want to get involved with that. You know, they've got other things to do. But the law is such, they have to get involved today. And we are pressing that issue to make sure that these crimes are followed up with appropriately, and they have not been. Now, if you ask the cruise lines, James, to come on, talk about safety for an hour like I'm doing right now, they wouldn't come on your show. But what they've done, what they've been very successful at, is that they hired the number three man from the FBI, they hired the chief lobbyist from the FBI, they've hired heads of offices to work for them after they retire. They've done the same with the Coast Guard. And every 2 months, the cruise lines have a dinner for them. And I've told them very strongly that that's a conflict of interest. These are the people they're supposed to regulate.
Unbelievable.
And yet they're hosting a party. I said, the FBI can have a meeting. The Coast Guard can have a meeting. But we all need to be at the table, not just the cruise lines. But that's where the cruise lines, when we passed our bill in the 3 years from 2008 to 2010, they just for lobbying expenses, they spent $16 million. We're a group of victims with no money. But when the bill passed Congress, there were only four votes against it between the House and the Senate, so that we have this, the support. But a year ago, when the bill started to take effect, there was a lag between when it was passed and take effect. All crimes, if today you call your local police department and say, I've been robbed, or some crime has been committed to you, that becomes a public record. Now, they may not do anything, but it becomes a public record. The intention of the bill we passed was to do exactly the same, so that the public then would know the crimes for given cruise lines. We know that the shorter the cruise, the higher the crime rates go up. They're drinking cruises. But a year ago, instead of getting a significant number of crimes being reported, in the first quarter, this FBI Coast Guard report only showed seven crimes. Second quarter, six crimes. The third quarter, none. And the last quarter, three crimes. Well, I said, that can't be right.
Now, that's with all cruises happening that are originating in the United States, that those are the statistics. That's what you're
coming
saying?
Either coming or going. So
there's no way that could be right.
Well,
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, what we found out was somebody added seven words to the bill that said, on any case that is closed by the FBI. Well, if the FBI doesn't open the file, they may only open 10% of the files. If they don't close them, there's no crimes. And the words were manipulated. Now, Senator Kerry's office came up when we started getting into the summer, came up with a public statement that was subject to a lot of press, saying that the FBI and Coast Guard had asked for that change, which is incredible. Now, frankly, I think it was the cruise lines that manipulated that change. They're the beneficiaries. So now we're going back in to correct those things.
Now, but, if somebody wanted to get the real statistics, let's say that a family is planning on taking a cruise, and this is something that they've decided they want to do, is there anywhere they can go to determine which cruise line would be the safest cruise line? Is that something your organization helps consumers to make decisions on?
Well, the answer is that was the intent of the bill, to list the types of crimes and for every cruise line. But a year ago, I told you that I got all of the crimes for a given year.
Right.
Under Freedom of Information Act. Last year, when we got through the first quarter and I saw only seven crimes, I did a Freedom of Information Act exactly like I'd done before. Guess what? FBI wouldn't give it to me. And so we've gone back now. We've asked for the entire year. So why would they not respond to a Freedom of Information Act? The reason they don't want to respond to it, because it shows so few crimes in relation to the total.
Yeah, this
so the answer is that information is not available. You could go, you could find a crime rate for any city in the country. You can't determine that from the
And these people work for us. And so for everybody listening, this is where your hard-earned tax dollars are going. The FBI, the Coast Guard are having cozy dinners with the cruise lines, and we're not getting the statistics. We're not getting this information. If you're just tuning in, my name is Jim Paris. You're listening to Jim Paris Live. And my guest is Kendall Carver. He's the president of the International Cruise Victims Organization. We're talking about the disappearance of his own daughter that happened in 2004 on a cruise ship. She disappeared. She's never been found. That situation was never resolved. It still is mostly a mystery today. We're talking about all of the other cases that are happening. We're talking about the lack of the government's interest in all of this. If you have a question or a comment on this topic, 888-287-3316, 888-287-3316. Ken, I've got to ask you, as we're talking about money here, one of the things that you read about the cruise lines is sort of this mysterious tax world that they live in, which is that they fly a foreign flag and they come here to the United States and make millions and millions of dollars, but then don't pay taxes on that or don't pay as much as others do. What do you know about that side of the equation?
Well, on March 1st of this year, or of 2012, Senator Rockefeller, who's chairman of the Commerce Committee, held a hearing on that exact topic. And he said to the cruise lines, you're using the service, you couldn't operate without the services of 21 government agencies. And guess what? You pay nothing in taxes for that. You pay nothing for it. So, in effect, what they've done, Carnival has put their corporation in Panama. Royal Caribbean has put their corporation in Liberia. I dare you to find anybody that works for Royal Caribbean in Liberia, but that's where they put their corporation. They put their ships in third world countries so they don't have to pay proper wages. And they pay nothing in taxes. So Senator Rockefeller turned to Christine Duffy, who runs the current Cruise Line Association. He said, do you think that's fair that you use the services of 21 government agencies and you pay nothing for it? She said, well, we pay what's necessary. And he went back. He said, you think that's fair? And she said, well, we pay what's necessary, which is 1%. They pay 1% in taxes to anybody. And then finally, he took it a step further. He said, I want your tax returns for these corporations. This is in March. She said, well, we'll work with you on it. And then he asked her again. He said, I want your tax returns. She said, I'll work with you on it. He said, the answer is yes. You will produce those tax returns for us. So the whole thing is they're avoiding crimes, they're promoting alcohol, they're promoting, they'll give you the cruise to get on that ship, and they take the legal position of not investigating crimes. If you try to open up a resort in Florida and said, okay, come on in, we're going to shut the door for a week, we're going to serve you unlimited alcohol, and if something happens, there is no security, and the staff is from some Middle Eastern country, wherever it happens to be, they wouldn't let them open up. And yet that's exactly what a cruise line is.
Now, let me ask you your personal view on this matter in the sense that I've been on a few cruises in the past, and I personally didn't have any problems, and I'm sure that,
sure. You know,
statistically, probably most people don't.
Sure.
But there's a percentage that do. Is it your organization's view that until these major changes occur, that sort of all the cruise lines, we can look at them all as bad actors in the current environment? Or are there particular cruise lines that you might mention by name that you could say, well, this is a cruise line or that's a particular cruise line that I think is treating people fairly, that does have adequate security, that you can sort of, recommend?
Yeah, the answer is no. They're all in the same boat. Even Disney has taken and put their corporation, their cruise lines, flagged them in another country. We have a famous case in England. The Corian family lost a daughter on a Disney cruise ship. And you just ask them. It was covered up. They can't get any police reports. There was one policeman from, I don't know, the Bahamas or the police or Bermuda, one of those countries, flew to Los Angeles, didn't interview anybody for one day, went back, and that was the investigation of their missing daughter on a Disney cruise ship.
So even on Disney, wow.
Yeah, and it just, you know, we would hope that one of them would come to us and say, hey, we want to cooperate, we want to clean this up. And ultimately the answer is independent security that will take action. I mean, there isn't a town in the United States, regardless of the size, that doesn't have a policeman. If a crime occurs, a woman's raped, there's a policeman that's going to investigate that crime. Well, unfortunately, that's not the case on a cruise ship. And I want to go back to one other point that's earlier in the discussion about the video. I think we left it that they said it was national security. Well, the president of Celebrity Cruise Lines wrote Carol and I a letter and said, gee, and this is 2006, we're getting a lot of press. I want to meet you anyplace. And we said, fine. So Carol and I flew to Miami, met with him. We asked him about the video. He said the tape was broke. So now it was erased. It was national security. The tape was broke. They told the FBI at that time exactly the same thing they told us.
So this is the president of the company you're meeting with at this point.
Yes, Dan Hanrahan. Well, guess what? In 2008, they admitted they had a tape. They'd kept it for several months and reviewed it. We subpoenaed that material. And they lied to the FBI, and yet the FBI did nothing.
Yeah, isn't it supposed to be a felony to lie to the FBI, right? I mean, just that alone.
That's my understanding. Clearly, they lied to the FBI. I have it in writing. Because I was curious. They were lying to us, but what were they telling the FBI? Turns out the same thing they were telling us. But even today, people are going off cruise ships, and they say there's no video. I just find that hard to believe.
Unreal. Now, as we close out, Ken, I know at your website, which it has a lot of other stories, there are resources there, a lot more information there. You want to give folks your website address, and then also how can we help further your cause? Obviously, for people that have Facebook and internet, social media, Twitter, we can put links to your website. People can link back to this interview, which will be available for rebroadcast. Are you accepting donations? Share with us all of that, as well as the website address.
Yeah. The website address is www.internationalcruisevictims.org. And we've been in, I guess you would say, in business for 7 years, and we're just literally going month to month with whatever money people have been willing to donate to us. And we're doing it on a shoestring. So there is a donation tab on that website. And whether somebody gave $5 or $10 or $1,000, let me tell you, we need it. Because on February 1st, James, I'll be going to Australia to testify at a government hearing in Australia, because our goal is to take these laws worldwide. That takes money. So I'm buying the airplane ticket and personally, and one of our members in Australia is going to pick up some of my expenses, but it's not cheap. Last year I made a one-day trip from Phoenix to the EU, and I was invited to attend. And as a result of that meeting, I went back 2 weeks later. I had a meeting in Parliament. I had one in the International Maritime Organization in London. I had another meeting at the EU, and was asked by the World Society of Victimologists to have a panel discussion in The Hague. So we're moving this out around the world, and that's not easy. particularly when you have no funds. But I want to put a religious spin to what's been going on, James, your religious show.
Sure.
At Marion's service, she never lived here. So we, figured it would be a small service, but we had a chaplain, and I, over the months that I was sitting there doing everything else, I made a video of Marion's life, and we were going to hold it in this chapel, and turned out the video wouldn't work in the chapel. So it would work in the main sanctuary. It's one of the largest churches of the denomination. So we held it in the main sanctuary. Well, it turns out there were hundreds of people there at that service. And several thousand dollars was donated. So we decided that in Marion's memory, and we don't have a body, we don't have anything, that we would create a statue. Now, Marion, if you go to Marion's story on the website, you'll hear the music, The Butterfly. That's based on a poem that Marion wrote and was done for her service. So anyway, we decided to create a statue and found somebody, and it took him, I don't know, a year and a half to create it. And it was created on a rock, of a woman sitting on a rock holding a butterfly. And next to it is a little box that plays the music. Well, the moment, after all these months and years, that rock was put into place, they had to bring it down from northern Arizona, the law passed the House of Representatives at that moment.
Wow, that's really something. And that's not a coincidence. I'm not a big believer in coincidences. That certainly seems like the hand of God moving there.
The hand of God. You couldn't go where we went with no money and get to where we are.
And you know what the truth is, sir? Most people in your situation, whether it be maybe they're not experienced in matters of law, maybe they have a full-time job, maybe they don't have the funds, you seem to be the wrong person that they picked to go up against, in the sense that I would wager that probably one out of maybe 100,000, one out of maybe even 500,000 would fall into the category of having your skills, your tenacity, the resources, the time, the commitment, perseverance to take on this cause. So I congratulate you for really memorializing your daughter in a wonderful way by making this a cause to protect other people who might be in these very same circumstances without even realizing it. And we thank you so much for joining us, Ken, and I'm sure we'll have you back again in the very near future.
Thank you, James.
Thank you. God bless you, sir. All right, we're wrapping up the show for today, and we're going to have a great show for you next week. You don't want to miss the show next week. We've got L.A. Marzulli, Bible prophecy expert, talking about the Bible and UFOs. This is an interesting topic. It really is when you think about, you know, what do we as Christians think about the idea of UFOs? And when we get into this topic, which we have before on the show, it runs A to Z, the opinions on this. Everything from, well, if you're a Christian, you can't even consider the possibility of UFOs being out there. To, you know, some Christians literally believing there might be life on other planets. And it's going to be a really fascinating topic, and we've got the right guy to break it all down for us, L.A. Marzulli. We also have Dan Pilla, IRS problem solver, will be with us in 2 weeks to talk about what to do if you have a debt with the IRS that you can't pay. A lot of good shows coming up. We'll be here live every Sunday night at 9 o'clock Eastern. This is Jim Paris, here as always, to help you make the most of God's money. Talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Jim Paris Live. For more information about our program, visit ChristianMoney.com or send an email to jim@ChristianMoney.com. Join us next week for another live program.